Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Philadelphia Eagles Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Woodman, and welcome to today's Monday morning podcast. It's not really morning anymore, and it probably won't be posted until the afternoon, but welcome to Monday's podcast. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Obviously, the Super Bowl just happened yesterday, and that's going to be one of the most dominant stories in the national news. I'm going to talk about that, but I'm also going to talk about Carson Wentz, all the latest trade rumors, which has pretty much been the topic of conversation in Philadelphia for the last couple of weeks and the last couple of podcasts that I've done. Ultimately, I think that Carson Wentz deal is I think what's really holding up the Carson Wentz deal is more contractual stuff than actual compensation for either team. And I'll get into all that pretty soon. But let's start off with Tom Brady. Let's start off with the Buccaneers, and let's start off with the Super Bowl that happened yesterday. I think that was a really boring Super Bowl. I was really expecting a lot more competition. It was definitely billed and hyped as two of the possible greatest quarterbacks of all time. Two guys that could be considered the greatest quarterbacks of all time. When it's all said and done, going at it head to head. But what happened is what usually happens when you have a really young quarterback who hasn't fully developed yet, and then you have an older quarterback who obviously has at the top of his game in Tom Brady. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers completely dismantled the Kansas City Chiefs. The defense especially was impressive to me. The front seven, if I could give a game ball or an MVP, obviously you can't give an MVP to an entire unit, but if I would give an MVP to any particular aspect of the Chiefs game, I really think that the front seven is what won that game. It wasn't Tom Brady. Tom Brady got the MVP, and I think it's deserved based off of statistical value, but ultimately I think that if you watch that game, all you saw over and over and over was linebackers, whether it was Devin White or Lavonte David, just continuously giving Travis Kelce problems one-on-one. I mean, not a lot of teams can match up a linebacker or a safety or anybody really to Travis Kelce and handle him, manhandle him the way. I mean, he had a good statistical game, but I'm just saying that for the most part, they had the ability to keep him in check with single coverage, which was huge, and it allowed them to bracket coverage, Tyreek Hill, which obviously, those are the two main guys you got to focus on. And that, I don't know how much that really changes. A lot of times when teams do that to a team, I don't know how much that's going to really put emphasis on, especially teams in the division, to like the Raiders and the Chargers and whatnot, to go out and get a coverage linebacker that can play Travis Kelce the way that their coverage linebackers did. But I mean, those are two guys, especially Lavonte David, one of the most underrated players in the league every year. He did a phenomenal job when he was matched up with Travis Kelce. And like I said, a lot of the yards that those guys got really came in garbage time towards, when they were running a lot of prevent stuff to try to keep them from scoring very quickly to let them back into the game. But without a doubt, that was my MVP. And then obviously the Chiefs not having their full offensive line intact really hurt them. And that's something that I would also like to bring back around. And I saw a lot of people on, social media saying the exact same things. As a Carson Wentz trade is essentially, it sounds like it's really on the horizon. It sounds like it's really close. Watching Patrick Mahomes play in the Super Bowl looked a lot like Carson Wentz looked this entire season. I'm not giving Carson Wentz an out for his poor play. I'm not trying to do that. But ultimately, when you look at how Patrick Mahomes, who there's no question at all that he is, if not the best quarterback in the league, top three easily. There's no question that he's an amazing player. But given the fact that he had constant pressure in his face, that he was dealing with an offensive line in shambles, I think it was missing both of its tackles, and it was really just a makeshift line out there. I mean, he did the best he could. You could see the effort he was giving into some of those plays. I mean, he's running for his life. He's throwing balls. I mean, there's one play that he was parallel to the ground, and he just hucked that ball like 40 yards. I mean, he's an amazing prospect in the league, and he's an amazing player. But you can see that when he doesn't have the pass protection, and when the pass protection breaks down, he was doing things like, you could tell he was taking longer drops. You could tell he was just uncomfortable back there. You could tell that his rhythm, his timing, all that stuff's off. And that's stuff we've seen from every quarterback, even Tom Brady, who now has 7 Super Bowls, who's obviously the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time, maybe the greatest athlete of all time now that he's passed Jordan as far as championships. There's definitely a debate to be had there. Is he the greatest team sports athlete ever? I think, it's hard to, I don't want to live in the moment, but it's really hard to argue these things now, considering all the amazing moments he's had. But I mean, even he, when he played the Giants and he was getting sacked constantly in the two games where they lost to the Giants, you saw the exact same thing from him. I mean, if you can't protect your quarterback, you can't expect good results. And the Eagles did not do a very good job of that from week one, from the very first game against Washington. I think what Wentz got sacked 7 or 8 times. And it really became an issue throughout the entire season where he just every week it looked like he was running for his life. It looked like, I mean, there was things, there were definitely other things that Carson Wentz wasn't doing. He was failing on his own, you know, as far as accuracies and stuff like that, even when he had clean pockets. I mean, you know, it's hard to say for sure. I'm not trying to take away all the blame when it comes to Wentz as far as his poor play. But you can see how much having a poor offensive line in front of you can affect an offense. There's no argument. There's no question that the Chiefs' offense is one of the best in the league. You can't argue the weapons. You can't argue the play calling by Andy Reid. Although maybe you can. Maybe you can argue the play calling with Andy Reid. This was something that I personally noticed watching that game. And I don't know if Andy Reid's going to take enough heat for this. But this is something, once again, that parallels the Eagles' issues throughout this season. It's a philosophy issue when it comes to Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, that they both share from the same offensive background, and it's that they don't like to run the ball. It's something that I remember Andy Reid as a head coach in Philadelphia was always an issue. We were always saying, give the ball more to Brian Westbrook. You know, that was always something. I mean, the year that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they had one of the best rushing attacks in the league, and every other year since then, or even before then, they just didn't seem to run the ball the same way. I mean, they had a three-headed monster the year that they won the Super Bowl, which was definitely a big part of that. But even that year, early in that Super Bowl year in 2017, I think it was going into week three or maybe even week two, or you know, very early in the season, I remember Eagles fans saying, why are they not running the ball? Why are they not running the ball? It was a constant issue way back as early as the, like I said, I think it was the Chargers game where they first started really running the ball that year. And, you know, the fans were like, you know, sigh of relief, like, yeah, run the ball. Like, this is something that, you know, people from these passing philosophies and passing backgrounds really don't like to do. And I think that really, you know, caused a lot of the reason that the Chiefs fell behind. And it was a very big reason that they lost the game. Because if you look at it, in the second half is when they really started running the ball. They were already down several touchdowns at that point. At that point, you really can't run too much clock. But if they would have, you know, established the run game early, maybe it would have got more, you know, more manageable situations for Mahomes, more manageable situations for this offense, so that they weren't constantly dropping back so much, considering that they knew the offensive line wouldn't hold up. So, I mean, they had success. I mean, Clyde Edwards Hilaire had 9 carries for 64 yards, which, like I said, if you're having that much success per carry, I would think it'd be a good call. It's almost 7 yards. That's over 7 yards a carry. So I think it's a good call that obviously a lot of it came with one of the first runs he had in the second half. But let's be real. I mean, if you would have tried to establish the run a little bit more, or if you would have stuck with the run a little bit better, number one, you might have kept Tom Brady on the sideline a little bit longer, which I'm sure might have helped. But I mean, it's just, that's classic Andy Reid, man. That's classic Andy Reid. That's classic Doug Peterson. You have a great running back and you just don't use him. And I know that the Bucs are a really good run-stopping team, but you can't let that dissuade you before the game even starts. I mean, you have to try, right? I mean, I don't even understand that thought process. You go out there, you had a lot of success passing the ball the first time against them. I understand that. You wanted to try to recreate that, but you had to know that they have to come out in some sort of, you know, some sort of, they had to, within 2 weeks after you torched them in the first game, at some point they had to come up with a better game plan to try to take away the same things that you did. So I don't know what the issue was there. I got to be honest with you, throughout the week, I really thought once the you know, Andy Reid's story about his kid came out, after that happened, that huge story about his son getting into causing a multi-car accident, I just had a feeling that Andy Reid was going to be distracted going into this game. And it's not like a huge distraction that, you know, it's just a bunch of little things. Obviously, Super Bowl week in itself is very stressful. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of things that these players and coaches have to do. That's why teams are always so conscious when it comes to trying to, you know, get rid of distractions, try to keep the focus on the game. And when Andy Reid, who already lost one son when he was a Philadelphia Eagles head coach, You know, this is several years ago, probably over 10 years ago, when he lost a son to a drug overdose. And now his other son, who's had drug problems in the past, I think it was more alcohol related, but I'm not sure. I didn't look into it too much because to me, this is his personal life. I didn't really want to dig into it. You know, I mean, I don't really find it serves a purpose to try to, you know, hopefully everything works out as far as all parties are involved with Andy Reid and his kids and the kids that got hurt. Hopefully that all works out. And you know, I didn't want to pry too much of that because it has nothing to do with football. It's his personal life. But when that happened, I'm sure that all the things that he regretted he could have did differently to save his first child that passed, that had an overdose at Eagles training camp, I'm sure that all those things came back and it puts things in perspective that he doesn't want to lose another child the same way. I know that Andy Reid, they said that going into the pregame of the Super Bowl, they were like, well, coaches have an amazing ability to focus and all this stuff. It's all nonsense. Like, sure, yeah, I'm sure that he can still do his job the same way. We could all do our jobs when things are not going, you know, not going well. But at the end of the day, I think that it's important to remember that, you know, Andy Reid already saw the other side of that. So I'm sure that that his reaction to this was different, that he doesn't want to lose his kid again. He doesn't want his kid to go to jail. He doesn't want his kid to lose another child in life. I mean, these are things that until they happen, you don't really think they can happen, but it did happen to him. He already lost his son. So I'm sure that he tried his best, but I'm sure that it played a small part to his preparation or to his mental focus, something. You know what I mean? It had to play a part. And you want to be at your 100% best when you're playing the most important game of the year, one of the most important games of your life. And I do think that that distraction probably played a small part in the Chiefs' offense not doing as good as it could have. But like I said, I don't want to go into that too much because obviously that's very personal for Andy. And I just, like I said, I wish all them the best, all parties involved. Hopefully it works out for all of them. But yeah, I mean, I do. Since I heard about that story, I just had the feeling that Tom Brady, who is laser sharp focused, and you could see it when he was out there in the game. I think it was right before halftime. They got a shot of him yelling to the sideline, "No, no, change it, bring this guy in." Like, he's running the show. You know what I mean? And Bruce Arians owned it. He owned it every chance he got. He said that I didn't do anything. This is his post Super Bowl speech. He said I didn't do anything. He said I got great coordinators. I let them do the job. He's always been saying that he lets Tom Brady coach, Tom Brady call it how he wants, and things like that. I mean, I always, until recently, I always thought that the best quarterback that I saw play, and I don't know if it was being a hater, but I always thought that the best quarterback I ever saw play was Peyton Manning or even maybe John Elway. It's without a doubt Tom Brady now. I mean, the argument, there's no real arguments anymore. There used to be an argument that Tom Brady really just was the result of Bill Belichick. That's dead in the water because he won a Super Bowl the second he left Bill Belichick, and he took the long road to get there. I mean, he beat Aaron Rodgers, he beat Drew Brees, he beat Patrick Mahomes. These are probably, you know, maybe the top five quarterbacks right there. You know what I mean? All playing each other. So there's no doubt in my mind that you cannot argue that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback and probably the greatest NFL player ever. The real argument is he the greatest athlete ever? He's the greatest team sport athlete ever, which I think you almost have to say yes. I mean, when you look at Michael Jordan, the argument for Jordan was always the six rings. And I think that a smaller portion of that argument is Jordan also plays defense. You know what I mean? Like, if Tom Brady was out there playing cornerback too, it might help his case. But I actually think it actually strengthens his case based off the fact that you have even less control. Being one of 22 guys on the field like Tom Brady is, you have even less control over what's going on out there than a guy who's playing, you know, one of five. If you're one of five starters, you're playing offensive defense, you probably have a much bigger impact on the game. So that, to me, that makes it more impressive what Tom Brady's doing. The fact that he's out there one of 22 starters, but his greatness is so influential and it's so much more than any other quarterback that's ever played the game that he can will his team to win from just that aspect. I mean, there's no argument that quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. Nobody would argue that. If you were to look at other team sports, I mean, you could say goalie in hockey. Maybe you could say catchers in baseball or pitchers in baseball. It's really hard to say. It's hard to pinpoint what's the most important position in other sports is basically what I'm saying. Maybe it's the center in hockey. You could say the guy scoring the goals. You know what I mean? There's so many different if you were to look at basketball, I mean, it used to be the center in basketball, but the game has changed. Now, it could be the point guard, could be the shooting guard. There's so many different things. Could be the small forward, the point forward, whatever. There's different avenues to success in all these other sports. But when it comes to football, you need a great quarterback. Yeah, sure, there are times that teams win without a great quarterback or whatever, but that's so much more rare. In reality, you know, the quarterback position is so important that doing what Tom Brady has done has really put a highlight on that. I mean, it's just amazing, like, to me. Like I said, it's just amazing to me that a guy could win 7 Super Bowls in a sport that nobody's even come close to that. He's almost doubling what Joe Montana and what Terry Bradshaw did. I mean, that's incredible. I know it took him a few more tries, but in reality, it's like, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's the fact that you're consistently great, consistently getting there. But I don't want to make this about Tom Brady, because obviously this is an Eagles podcast. I'm sure there's a lot of people that can't stand Tom Brady. I think that I was a bit of a hater, and I still kind of am, when I would used to say that I thought Peyton Manning was better, and there's still a part of me that does think that way, but it's really hard to continue that line of thinking now, because Tom Brady, I mean, he did, you know, how many times has a quarterback switched teams and took him right to the Super Bowl championship? Probably never. I really doubt that it's ever happened, because it's so rare. But let's talk about the Eagles. Let's talk about our quarterback, Carson Wentz, which, you know, his trade. Like I said, watching the way Mahomes played with no offensive line, it almost feels like regrettable now that Carson Wentz. I'm partially like second thinking that maybe, you know, maybe this isn't the best idea. I still really like Jalen Hurts. I have no real qualms moving forward with Jalen Hurts. I think he's the type of leader. I think he's the type of athlete. I think he's the type of prospect that, you know, anybody would be happy to have. But now that Carson Wentz it seems like he's out the door, I'll give you guys the proposed trade that's being leaked is Carson Wentz to the Bears, which obviously the Bears need a quarterback. They haven't had a ton of success getting one. They've been trying for what feels like forever. I mean, whether it was drafting Mitch Trubisky, which they moved up to do, they could have just sat there, saved the draft picks that they traded for Trubisky and drafted Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. So that was a mistake on their end, a huge mistake on their end. That was a huge talent evaluation mistake that they made. I mean, that's honestly, could Wentz be the same way? You know what I mean? Like, it's obviously I think he's a much better prospect than Mitch Trubisky was. But between the Mitch Trubisky move, bring in Nick Foles, which obviously didn't work out either, and now trying to bring in Carson Wentz, it's fair to question, will this solve the problem or will it look the same as the last two moves that they tried to make? They haven't addressed the quarterback issue properly. Let's just put it that way. They've been trying to, I mean, if they get a quarterback, their defense is so good. If they actually had a quarterback that could, you know, run that offense successfully, they could be a real player. They could be a real player in the division and a real player towards the Super Bowl. But the Eagles' compensation in that, if they were to make this deal, apparently, from the sounds of it, is I think a first-round pick. I think that was what was reported. I think the Eagles have to send a pick with Carson, which hasn't been reported. But I think the Eagles would receive their first-round pick, and I think they would also receive Tariq Cohen, who I love, by the way. He hasn't really – I really want – the year that he came out, I really wanted the Eagles to draft Tariq Cohen. That was the year that they drafted – Tariq Cohen, the year that he came out, by the way, I think he was like – looked at as like a fourth or a fifth round prospect, and the Bears jumped him on him early. I think he was like a third round pick, which I was shocked. I thought he was going to go much later. But I loved him as a prospect coming out. And I mean, he had all these like YouTube footages of him doing double backflips and catching balls one-handed, one in each hand, and all kind of crazy stuff. Plus, he just looked like an amazing athlete, which he is. He's one of the fastest running backs in the league, without a doubt. He's a guy that I really wanted the Eagles to kind of steal on the backside there. Then, obviously, the Bears took him early, and the Eagles, I don't know if they didn't have a fallback plan, but they ended up going with Danelle Pumphrey, who was a similar stature, was supposed to have similar skill set, but completely didn't know how to play football, apparently, because the second he came into the league, he was an absolute bust. And Pumphrey was one of the few guys out of that loaded running back draft class that I really didn't want, mostly because of his size. But he was a guy that I pegged from the gate. I didn't want him. And when they drafted him, I tried to convince myself. I was like, well, we got him. You know, he had a great college career. Maybe he'll be good. And I do that a lot. I did the exact same thing with J.J. Arcadia-Whiteside, which was, I really want a DK. But you know what? Maybe they know what they're talking about. And I tried to work myself up to wanting him and being excited for him to be an Eagle. And then they both just fell right on their face in epic fashion. Not like just being a bust. I mean like being an all-time terrible pick. So, you know, without a doubt, you know, bringing it back around, I would love to get Tariq Cohen here. I still think he's a really good, talented player. But like I said, he hasn't done a ton. And maybe he's not being used properly in Chicago. It's hard to say. He's a good player. He's a notable name. But by no means has he become what I think he could become in the NFL. So I would be excited for the upside. And then the last portion of this reported deal, and this is the one that I think is really holding up the works and why it hasn't been made yet, is the Eagles would receive a very familiar face in Nick Foles. Now, this doesn't really make a ton of sense to me, aside from the fact that Nick Foles obviously is a god in Philadelphia and people still love him and for what he did. And I still think that he has the ability to be a starting quarterback, even though he failed everywhere he's gone since and before Philadelphia. Everywhere not Philadelphia has not worked out for Nick Foles, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's the, you know, where he's gone the last 2 years, which was the Jaguars and then now the Chicago Bears. None of it has worked out. And I don't necessarily think it was his fault. Like a lot of these stops, I don't think they're necessarily his fault. Kansas City actually worked out pretty good because he did play a few games and play okay for them. But ultimately, I mean, I still think he's got the ability that he could be a franchise quarterback. But I don't think that the Eagles view him that way anymore. I don't think the Eagles want him for that. So to bring him back in, and I'm pretty sure he's still on a contract where he's making like $20 million a year, some ridiculous number. The Eagles are in salary cap hell right now. And I think part of the reason that they want to trade Carson Wentz is they want to get out from under that problem. They want to try to solve this problem of the salary cap, which is really bad. I mean, it's worse than the league right now, especially since Drew Brees just did what he did by essentially taking, he restructured his contract to help the Saints once he retires. So, you know, the Eagles need something like that. And I think that's the reason why this trade, even though it sounds like all the compensations in order, I think that what they're trying to do now is I think they're going to have, and there was a report of this too. I'm not just making this up. There was a report that it's the contracts that are holding this up, that they're basically any deal with Carson Wentz is going to have to involve a restructure. And I think that it's going to be the same way when it comes to Nick Foles. I think that for him to come back here, I don't think the Eagles want to pay $20 million for backup. They didn't back then when he was Super Bowl MVP. Why would they want to pay $20 million for a backup now? I still think the plan is going forward with Jalen Hurts. And I think Nick Foles might be the backup plan. But I think that they want to get Nick Foles' number down to maybe like $10 million a year before they bring him back. I think that's the same thing that the Bears want with Carson Wentz. I think that the Eagles ultimately want to restructure Carson Wentz so that when they trade him, it opens up salary cap immediately. And I think that the Bears would like to receive him on a deal that maybe it's a restructured deal entirely that gives them a guaranteed maybe I don't know. It's definitely contractual. That's basically the bottom line. So looking at Nick Foles' cap number, it's pretty reasonable. I mean, but they still apparently have, I didn't think that this would go this way, but it seems like they have like a $10 million dead cap hit for Nick Foles. If they, like I said, I'd have to look into it deeper. I haven't looked into it before this podcast, but if they were to trade him, maybe it loosens it up. And like I said, maybe the end game for both of these quarterbacks is they're restructuring these contracts. And that's why it's taking so long to essentially make these trades, because I'm sure the Eagles would love to have Nick Foles back, but I'm sure they don't want to pay too much. They need a veteran. You know what I mean? They need a veteran. You can't say that when Carson was having the success that he was having, I think a big portion of it was veteran quarterbacks in the quarterback room with him helping him out. And I think that the Eagles would love to have that for Jalen Hurts. And I think that Nick Foles would be a terrific guy for that. It really just comes down to, I mean, you still have the opportunity to play. Maybe Jalen Hurts doesn't work out. Maybe Nick Foles will eventually take his job back. It's still a weird connection. I mean, I know Nick Foles has been connected to Philadelphia through several head coaches, but now that Doug Peterson is gone, and so is Frank Reich, and so are a lot of the people that he had success with, it's really weird to think like him coming back would turn him back into the Nick Foles that won MVP. Maybe it would. I mean, he's had a lot of success. He had success with Chip Kelly, and Chip Kelly's offense was a joke by the time his career, NFL career, was done. I mean, between his last year in Philadelphia, where everybody knew what play was coming, a mile away, like defenses knew exactly what he was going to do, and then his first year and only year in San Francisco, where he was just a complete bust. I think he won one game that year. I mean, there was just, Nick Foles found a way to have success in both of these scenarios. Nick Foles found a way to have success, whether it was, obviously winning a Super Bowl here or his 27-2 year under Chip Kelly. So, you know, I still think that Nick Foles, and what a story would that be, by the way? I mean, right now, Carson Wentz is kind of, I don't want to say he's hated in Philadelphia, but he's definitely underappreciated and being vilified by the fact that he's not talking and that he wants out. Apparently he wants out. Like, people that are still holding on to this hope that Carson Wentz will come back. It's obvious based off of all this stuff that's coming out right now, aside from all the stories, but all the positive things that are coming out. Like, a new head coach is usually a positive thing or usually something to get excited about or talk about. He said nothing. There's a lot of things that he could easily come out and say his thought about, and he's just staying quiet because he wants out. It just is what it is. He wants out. There's no real salvaging this anymore. And that's a good thing based off the fact that I don't think they'd be able to trade him if he was based off the fact that he wants out. It'll be easier for the Eagles to trade him based off the fact that he'll probably be more willing to restructure his contract, or, you know, because, I mean, that's something that the Eagles did a good job of maintaining the position that, like, look, we want Carson back, but he has to compete for his job. Based off of that, I mean, you know, they're just basically keeping the pressure on him that, like, look, you better, if you want to be traded, you got to basically restructure your contract or something, because if not, we'll just sit you here on the bench behind Jalen Hurts if you can't win the quarterback competition. You know what I mean? Like, they kept it to the point where he doesn't hold all the cards, where it's like, look, you're under contract. You know what I mean? Like, you can come back and play your hardest, or you can pout and just sit on the bench. And that's basically how they're, you know, obviously Wentz doesn't want to do that. Obviously Wentz wants to go play somewhere. I don't think he could come back and win the job, but he doesn't want to do that. He'd rather be handed the job and go to a place that where he's appreciated, like Chicago. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's going to try to go to somewhere where they'll treat him like he's gold right out the gate, because they've never had a quarterback with his talent, based off of the fact that, I mean, Chicago really hasn't. I mean, Jay Cutler might have had the same amount of talent, but he also had a bad attitude. That's the exact guy that I compared Carson Wentz to, by the way, in a previous podcast. It's going to be kind of fitting that he's going to go there. They'll probably bend over backwards for him, and it probably won't work out, because Carson Wentz has to be coached harder than he is. He can't be handed. The story came out from Malcolm Jenkins that, you know, he noticed that Carson Wentz was kind of being babied and coddled and, you know, things like that. And that's just no way to go. I mean, that's like, look at Tom Brady. That's something that, once again, going back to the GOAT, Tom Brady is something that, you know, a story came out, or at least I think I heard it either after the Super Bowl or during the Super Bowl. They said that when Tom Brady got to Tampa Bay, he made it clear that he wanted to be coached hard. And that's, you know, that's a really strange thing to hear from a guy like that. But that's what you need. You need guys that are you know, being called in the NFL is not a good thing. And I think that's something that might ultimately keep Wentz from becoming the great quarterback that he can become. And similar to the way that Jay Cutler had an attitude, and obviously I don't think anybody was coaching him hard. All I remember about Jay Cutler was in the championship game against the Packers, when he was just sitting on the sideline or riding the bike, when it's like, dude, that's the championship game. Like, you saw Patrick Mahomes running around there on one leg. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the thing. And the same thing with Carson Wentz, where he left the game with a concussion against the Seattle Seahawks just last year. I mean, that's a game like, look, dude, hide your concussion. Like, I'm not saying, obviously, you know, the NFL takes that very seriously now. But if you listen to the way the story went, Carson Wentz went up to them and said, hey, look, I think I might have a concussion. It's like, dude, like, I get it. You know what I mean? I get it with the NFL. The NFL is trying their best to take this very seriously. Obviously, these head, you know, these concussion, these trauma, you know, CTE is a very big thing. Okay, you can't take that lightly. But in a playoff game with your season on the line, you gotta like hide that. And I think that's a big reason why the Eagles were just turned off on him the following offseason and went and drafted another quarterback, because they want a guy that's like, look, dude, you gotta lay it on the line. Like, this is the playoffs. You're trying to make a Super Bowl run here. You can't just tap out in the first quarter with a headache. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to sound like, you know, this is a small thing. Obviously, concussions are very big, but this is football. You're the starting quarterback. At some point, you have to lay it on the line out there and try to stay in the game and just try to, you know, it's not like he was still on the field. It was a defensive possession. I mean, the offense wasn't even playing anymore. The offense was on the sideline. Take a few minutes. Try. I mean, I know I can hear people out there. I don't think I've ever had a concussion in my life. I'm just saying these are professional football players. This is, you know, playoff time. This is what these guys work hard for all year. I think the Eagles would have preferred a guy to try to take a few, you know, especially since the offense was on the sideline at the time. Take a minute, try to gather himself, you know what I mean? Try to play through it. And I think that that's really one of the things that turned him off. That that plus, you know, Wentz's injury history, that plus the attitudes they saw behind the scenes in the locker room, stuff like that. I just think that all this stuff added up and they eventually were like, look, this guy, he's just continuously not there when we need him most. And that's why they drafted Jalen Hurts, because they hoped that he would be. And Jalen Hurts is a completely different guy when it comes to his personality. And I think he's the type of guy, you know, because Eagles have had players in the past that have done that. Once again, Malcolm Jenkins, he came out publicly after playing through a concussion, which he caught a lot of heat for, because the NFL is not about that life anymore. They're not about that, you know, suck it up and play through concussions so you can, you know, be a CTE victim 10 years down the line and they could get sued. They don't play that game anymore, but it's still to the point where it's like, if you're that important of a player, I think you have to have an understanding. You got to do your best to stay out there. And I don't know if Carson did that. I mean, I wasn't there and I'm not trying to harp on him. I just think that these things, all these things, when you look at it from a total perspective, that these are all the things that basically got the Eagles to where they are, where they drafted Jalen Hurts, where they decided to go a different direction other than Carson Wentz. There's all the signs were there. And I think that they're perfectly comfortable with moving on from Carson Wentz, because this hasn't been a small sample size. We're 5 years in now. 5 years, and what have you really got to show for it out of Carson Wentz? You got one amazing season in 2017, which seems like an outlier, because every other season has been either, you know, maybe mediocre to good. I think that's the best way to put it. Even his second best accomplishment was a 4-game stretch where he got hot against really bad teams, by the way, and he put the Eagles on his back and he carried them to the playoffs in 2019. That was the second best achievement of his career, a 4-game stretch against horrible teams where the season really seemed over. Other than that, I mean, his rookie year wasn't great. He did set the record for, I think, what, attempts or completions that year, rookie record for that, which, you know, I mean, that's somewhat of a byproduct of Doug Peterson's throw happy offense. But ultimately, I mean, as far as a rookie goes, he had a solid rookie year. Then, obviously, his first year coming off of his ACL wasn't great. He got benched once again, mostly because of a back injury, but it was something that he was playing with for a month. He got benched because of a back injury for two reasons. The back injury, obviously, and because he wasn't playing effectively. The team was 5-7. They thought the season was over. They were like, why bother putting Wentz back out there just to continue to, you know, let him get healthy for next year? That was essentially the idea, but he never went on IR, so ultimately he could have came back and played at any point in time, but Nick Foles came in and lit it up again and carried him to the playoffs and actually won a playoff game. So that's, you know, right there. You know what I mean? Like, I can think the same way that you could say that, you know, if you want to compare Carson Wentz's career and Nick Foles' career, Nick Foles has had more great seasons than Carson Wentz in reality. Like, and that's, I mean, whether it was 27-2 season under Chip Kelly, or whether it was the year that he won the Super Bowl and won Super Bowl MVP, or whether it was the following year where he carried him to the playoffs and won a playoff game. I mean, there's more evidence that Nick Foles has done more in this league than Carson Wentz. I mean, that's a problem. I'm not saying that Nick Foles is a better quarterback. I'm saying that that's a problem when you have a guy who's obviously more talented, obviously. Carson Wentz is way more physically talented, arm, athletic ability. I mean, Nick Foles is a statue for the most part, but there's something missing upstairs. There's something missing between the years, you know, that classic football term that makes Carson Wentz, you know, get it done when it needs to get done. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have that killer instinct, I don't think. He doesn't have a great record coming from behind. He doesn't have a game where he came, you know, I mean, he might have like one or two games, like the Giants game this last year, where he brought them back and won that game. That was a game that seemed like a loss. That was probably the only moment I can remember in Carson Wentz's career where he had a fourth quarter comeback, or, you know, he just played when you needed him most. Otherwise, I think for the rest of the 5 years of his career, he just didn't seem to have that. You know what I mean? He just doesn't seem to be that guy. And that's something, whenever you hear the comparison between Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz, that was always the thing that you couldn't really argue when it came to Carson Wentz. Statistically, I think that Carson Wentz probably is a better passer, although that even that went away these last couple years, because Dak Prescott's been playing with a much better receiving core. So it's like, you know, I just don't, you know, I'm still down on Carson Wentz. I just, looking at the way that Patrick Mahomes played in the Super Bowl with no offensive line protecting him, it makes me wonder what could have been. But at the same, I mean, it's not like the Eagles, you know, this argument that the Eagles failed Carson Wentz when it comes to, you know, putting players around him. There's some truth to that, but it's not that they didn't try. You know what I mean? Like, there are, you know, there are times when they drafted Jalen Hurts, obviously that wasn't a try to help Carson Wentz out. But when they drafted Dillard in the first round last year, I mean, that was a try, right, to keep solidifying their protection. It hasn't worked out. The guy hasn't looked great, and he also got hurt last year. So, you know, but that's not on the Eagles. You know, I mean, you can't blame them for they definitely tried. They drafted a guy in the first round to be your bookend for the next decade. They drafted Jordan Mailata. They've been, you know, working him up since the day they drafted him. And he looked terrific this last year. So that's another scenario. They obviously tried. They drafted a guy who has all the physical attributes to be a all-pro player, and they've been working on him for the last couple of years. That's a good try. They always invest in the lines. You can't argue that the Eagles invest in the offensive lines. They've just had an obscene amount of injuries, which, once again, how is that on the Eagles? The fact that that's, if you want to argue the weaponry, that is something that's a little bit easier to argue. But once again, they've tried. They drafted Jalen Reagor this last year. They drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the second round. They've definitely put the resources into these receivers. They just either haven't worked out, or they were just horrible picks. But I don't feel like it's Carson Wentz's position who knows? Like, it's not like he would have necessarily drafted somebody better. I mean, I know how Eagles fans are, and we looked at DK Metcalf like, wow, how is this guy falling? We all knew who he was because he was a living meme for a while. That picture of him in the gym looking like a linebacker, you know what I mean? Looking like an absolute a shredded monster in the gym. That was, you know, why everybody pretty much knew who DK Metcalf was. But I don't think that necessarily Carson Wentz was behind the locker room or behind the coaches saying, you know what, we need to draft DK Metcalf here. And they were like, no, sorry, we're going to go with J-Jaw. You know what I mean? I don't know if there was any, if Wentz had his own thoughts, if Wentz was saying, I want Justin Jefferson, and they said, no, we want Jalen Reagor, sorry. I don't know if those conversations ever took place, or if he had his own thoughts, and the second that those picks went opposite what he actually wanted to do, I don't know if that contributed to his feelings like that. But it wasn't until the Jalen Hurts pick that it was official that the Eagles proved with their actions that they weren't doing their best to support Carson Wentz. And I think that he's right in that effect. I think that the second you draft, if you're 26 at the time or 27 at the time, and they're drafting a quarterback in the second round, I mean, I don't know who they were trying to kid. That was an obvious shot at Wentz. And I think it created this situation. There's no doubt about it. But I love Jalen Hurts. I do. I can't, as much as I continue to say that, It's kind of bittersweet that the Carson Wentz relationship is going to end, and there's definitely going to be regrets about that. I do feel like I don't think Carson Wentz is going to go on to be, because I've seen enough to know that he's not going to go on to bite the Eagles in the ass to the point where it's like, wow, he just won 5 Super Bowls. You know what I mean? I don't really think you're going to see him go off somewhere and turn to a dynasty. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's a classic underachiever. I think that it comes from his attitude, from his mentality, and I think it's always going to be that way, just like Jay Cutler was. Jay Cutler had an amazing arm. He had one of the best arms in the league, but he had a horrible attitude, and I don't think anybody could tell him anything. And I think that ultimately was his unraveling, and why he always put up great numbers, he always put up great statistics, but ask any Bears fan, they couldn't wait to get rid of Jay Cutler. And I think that if Carson Wentz were to stay here for whatever reason, I think it would turn out the same way. While Jalen Hurts, I mean, I don't know what to make of him. We're obviously going to find out. But, I mean, from what, you know, like I said, there's just the character there. That's really what has me intrigued. And then the physical ability. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, I mean, just obviously most of the stuff that we can go off of is what he did in college, or what his successes he had in college, or what, you know, what you could see from when he was at either Oklahoma or Alabama. But I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed when they drafted him. I was excited about it. I didn't necessarily think that it was going to turn into him having the job within a year. But when they drafted him, I was like, you know, I thought he was kind of a more raw prospect. I thought it would take a couple of years, but I thought that, you know, maybe the Eagles would trade him for some good draft capital down the line. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, when you look at the position that he was in Alabama, I mean, this guy, to me, if he would have kept the job, if he would have kept his job in Alabama and you know, played for 4 years and then went to the pros, I think that he would have been drafted similar to where Tua was drafted. I mean, people are looking at Tua now like this guy's, you know, they're already kind of second guessing Tua after just a couple of games, thinking that he might have been a system guy, which I think is pretty well documented that he was a system guy. But I think that I don't think Jalen Hurts is a system guy. I think Jalen Hurts is a guy that he can do. I think, number one, he's going to put in the work. Number one, he's a leader. I mean, like I said, I've already made a lot of comparisons. He reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott, but with more, you know, more intangibles and more. I think he's got better physical attributes than Dak Prescott. I think he throws a better ball. I think he's got better accuracy. I think he's got more athleticism. I think he's faster. So to me, he's like a souped-up version of Dak Prescott. And you know, that's pretty good. I mean, the Cowboys have been pretty successful with Dak. I think that as of right now, you can say without a doubt, if you look at, you know, injury to Dak Prescott aside, who's turned out better to this point? I think there's no doubt that Dak Prescott's turned out better than Carson Wentz. And that's really hard and sad to say about a Cowboy coming from an Eagles fan. But yeah, I mean, given the stats that Dak was putting up this last year, given the fact that he has a playoff win, given the fact that, you know, he's led the Cowboys to the playoffs multiple times, all things that Carson Wentz hasn't done. You know, these are all things that I think are big feathers in the hat to Dak Prescott. And if your second overall pick hasn't performed better than a guy who was drafted, in the fourth round by the Cowboys all those years ago and doesn't have the same ability Carson Wentz still has way more ability. He's still a better prospect than Dak Prescott will ever be physically, you know, obviously. But it doesn't matter because Carson Wentz is a classic underachiever and Dak Prescott is an overachiever. That's really the idea. And that's why I think that Jalen Hurts will be. I think Jalen Hurts is an overachiever. I think you saw the way that he fought against the Cardinals to stay in that game and to come back in that game. I don't really think that, I mean, that was just the second game in the league. I don't think that we've seen that much effort and that much fight from Carson Wentz in 5 years, which these are the things that really make me like Jalen Hurts more than Carson Wentz at this point. Although I just don't think Carson Wentz has it upstairs. I just really don't. And it's sad because I've been a big Carson fan. This is a guy, I mean, I've seen him make a ton of plays, but he seems too much like a diva. And you see that, like when the going gets tough, that's not what I want. I want a quarterback who's going to get dirty, who's going to roll up his sleeve, who's going to fight to the last inch. And I think that's what you have in Jalen Hurts. I think those are the guys that win championships. I think those are the guys that, you know, command teams like Russell Wilson. That's a guy, he'll fight to the last inch. I have no qualms about saying that. Guys like Tom Brady, he'll fight to the last, you know, he'll fight for that last inch. You know what I mean? I have no qualms in saying about some of these great quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, I'm not so sure. That's the thing. Like Aaron Rodgers, when the going gets tough, he doesn't seem to care as much. You know what I mean? Like that's why he's only got one Super Bowl. And ever since he's kind of been living off of that and, you know, failing in championship games when the going gets really tough and you have a team in your face that wants that championship more. So, and I'm not trying to hate on Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying that ultimately he's an amazing player too, but I want the guy that can win the next Super Bowl. And I'm to the point already. That part I can guarantee. Carson Wentz, I feel like, is not that guy. If I look at around the league and say, who's a guy that can get me a championship? Because that's what the Eagles want. That's what Eagles fans want. I don't have any faith in that is Carson Wentz. I have more faith in Dak Prescott, who doesn't have an ounce of the ability that Carson Wentz has, in my opinion. I think that he has more chance because he's a guy that's going to fight for the last, you know, to the last second on that clock. And that's what you need to win a Super Bowl, just in my opinion. But ultimately, you know, that says a lot about Carson Wentz's trade value too. Dak Prescott, there's stories coming out that the Cowboys are not sold on Dak Prescott as their future. You could get him. He might be a free agent. You might be able to pick him up for, you know, whatever, a tenth of his value based on the injuries coming off of. You might be able to get him for free, and teams are still willing to trade for Carson Wentz. even with all his problems, even with his salary cap, you know, the contract that he has, even with the injury history that he has, even with all these negative stories, they're still willing to take a chance on Carson Wentz before possibly waiting it out for Dak Prescott based off of the fact that Carson Wentz has that much more talent. But that's the thing. I always feel like that's going to be unrealized talent. I always feel like his talent level is, I just think he's a classic underachiever. And I think it's because he's a know-it-all and he doesn't listen to anybody. That's going to be the biggest portion of his downfall for his career. But I mean, the trade hasn't happened yet. I've been saying for a while now, I 100% think that it will happen. It'll be interesting to see what we get, what the Eagles get when it does. And when we find that out, I will be right back here talking about it on my next podcast. Hopefully it'll be happen before the following Monday because I record these every Monday. So if you guys can't tell, I'm doing my sign off. I'm going to end my podcast here. If you guys haven't clicked the follow button though, I would totally appreciate that. I'm going to be doing an Eagles podcast at least once a week from now until the next season starts. Probably pick up more when there's big events like the draft and training camp and all that stuff. But for now, I'll probably be doing it as news pops up. And then I'll do a weekly podcast. And then whatever major story breaks, I'll do another podcast that day. So hit the follow button or whatever platform you're on, whatever they call it, subscribe, you know, whatever, do that. And I really appreciate it because I'm going to keep pumping out this content, no matter what. So thanks for listening to this podcast episode. I'm going to end it there. And this has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk. And I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. Thanks for listening.